Good morning. You listen to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is Franco Rossi, the president of Aquafil USA. Franco, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Kemp. Thanks for asking.
I want to talk to you about this new legislation that was signed into law last week in California, AB 729. But first, if you don't mind, I saw you last year in a bike athletic event, and you did it again this year, and you said you cut 6 minutes off your time. So did you do the three gap or the six gap?
I did the three gaps.
Okay.
I mean, three gaps, as you know, are almost 4 hours on a bike. And if you do the six gaps, you're going to spend between 6 and 8 hours on a bike, which is too much for me.
One more thing. You just married your second daughter. Your first daughter got married 2 months ago, so you've been busy personally with those milestones, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been busy. It all happened in just 2 months.
Uh-huh.
Even if the girls are 7 years apart, so all my financial planning I did when they were born, I mean, didn't really help much. You know, I had to pay for 2 weddings in 2 months. It's okay, we'll survive.
Yeah. Okay, well, we got to sell more string, don't we?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so let's talk about AB 729. You know, I interviewed Bob Peoples last week, and he said probably unnecessary legislation. And I think you may have a different perspective. But before we get into that law, let's talk real quickly. Aquafil has a brand name called Econeal, and it's what you've branded as the polymer that you've taken back post-consumer, and you've depolymerized and turned back into nylon 6 with the same basic properties as virgin, and you sell it to blue jean makers and sunglass makers and even into the carpet business as Econeal, and you get a premium for it because it's a recycled material. You've opened two facilities. You've got a facility in Phoenix, Arizona, and one outside of Sacramento to take post-consumer carpet and turn it into the face fluff that you send over to Slovenia and depolymerize. Is that accurate?
Right. Well, yeah, fairly accurate. We have these two facilities now. One is functioning and running. If I remember well, you were with us in December of 18 when we inaugurated that. Since then, the facility has been ramping up. The Woodland facility has not yet started.
Okay.
We have faced problems with PG&E, which is the main supplier of energy and power for that part of the world. Unfortunately, coming online with the Woodland facility is taking longer than we thought. The main reason is the lack of power.
Okay, interesting.
You mentioned AB 729, which is an amendment to existing legislation, which has been there for almost a decade now in California. You know, California is the only state in the United States, and I believe it's the only state in the world, which has legislation to incentivize carpet recycling. And it works. We have heard Kia saying that they're close to 20% recycling rate right now, and they think they might even make it to the 24% prescribed by law.
Yeah.
And if you compare this to other states or the rest of the United States, it's a very different scenario. You know, nowhere else that rate is not even close to 5%. So it's less than 5%, probably between 3 and 5. And mostly due to the fact that people recycle carpet pad, and that when you recycle the carpet pad, some carpet comes along, and so you recycle that too. But economically, without subsidy, carpet recycling is not viable. Mm-hmm. The state of the technology, there is nothing that you can do with carpet and recycle without incentive.
Mm-hmm. So is it the differential assessment that you like about this amendment?
It's an evolution, you know. The law started 10 years ago, or maybe 8 or 9 years ago. Mm-hmm. The business was very different 8 or 9 years ago to what it is today. 8, 9 years ago, most of the raw material was nylon.
Mm-hmm.
Today, most of the raw material is polyester.
Yeah.
So there's been a dramatic shift in the kind of material which is used to make carpet. Mm-hmm. Just in general, you can say the nylon 6 is today worth $1 a pound as resin.
Yeah.
Nylon 6/6 is $1.50 a pound, and PET is 50 cents a pound.
Right.
So obviously, when you're confronted with recycling material, which has already a very low face value, I mean, it's very hard to make the economics to work.
Yeah.
Actually, it's impossible. And so I think that the notion of differential assessment followed the evolution of the market.
Yeah.
The market evolved and is still evolving toward less and less expensive raw materials.
Yeah.
And that makes the task of recycling it more and more challenging in a simply market-based environment.
Yeah.
You need to support it. And I think differential assessment is going toward trying to address that topic.
If you look at the carpet mills that introduced this polyester product, it allowed them to continue to offer carpet at $19 a yard retail value as the cost of materials were going up. So they introduced it as a lower cost alternative. And there'd been some advancements in technology that allowed polyester to perform not quite as good as nylon, but a little better. So now if they have differential assessments in California, there's a chance that we'll actually be changing the economic equation with polyester carpet, and it actually will no longer be a lower-priced product. Is that it? Fair to say?
I don't know. It looks like that may have an impact on the final cost of the consumer. It depends then on the way CARE and the stewardship organization is going to interpret the law,
yeah,
and how they're going to make it applicable to real circumstances, what kind of differential assessment they're going to,
yeah,
come up with. But yes, it could somewhat change the dynamics of carpet and the way carpet is priced and the way carpet is made.
I don't think it's a secret that Aquafil is able to do what you do in these two facilities, one that's under construction and one that you finished, because you get subsidies from the state of California. How will this law change that?
There is a reason why Aquafil USA is based in Georgia, as our headquarters in Georgia, but yep, we decided to open the facilities in the west part of the United States,
right,
because of California legislation.
Right.
You know, there is no other reason.
Yeah.
But that goes back to what I said at the beginning. There is no proof that anybody can recycle carpet in the United States simply based on market values or market economics. So any community desire to take some of all the carpet out of a landfill, some legislation need to be passed.
Yeah.
There's no way you can do it. It has been proven multiple times, and just reality numbers talk clearly about how hard it is and how economically challenging it is to recycle carpet. Mm-hmm. At a point that even users of post-consumer carpet material, which are based on the East Coast of the United States, bring material from the West Coast, because that's the only way to make it work. You know, we can fight reality as much as we want, but if you want to look at numbers and facts, it looks like the only place, I would say, in the world where carpet recycling functions, mm-hmm, is California. Yeah. Nowhere else in the world. There's no carpet recycling that we can talk of outside of California.
All right, Franco. Well, I appreciate you giving your perspective on this new addendum to the carpet recycling laws, the AB 729 legislation. Again, been talking to Franco Rossi, the president of Aquafil USA, and you've been listening to Kempar and FloridaDaily.net.